out working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. All I can tell you is I'm glad yesterday's over with. Man, I'm feeling it in my chest, my throat, my nose. The wind was awful. Everybody knows it. And dirt was flying. It was a bad day. I know the wind's blowing today, but at least it ain't dirty wind. Currently at Slapout, Oklahoma, 45 degrees, 46 at the May Ranch, 48 at Helena, 47 at Fairview, 47 at Cheyenne, 51 degrees at Hollis, 50 at Hobart, and 51 at Tipton. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, let me get to that, and let me refresh it. There we go. We have at Lipscomb, 45 degrees, 50 degrees at Wellington, 51 at Childress, and 49 at Goodlet. I'll have your Texas Panhandle. I haven't selected the town yet. I have forecast for one of the cities out in the Texas Panhandle here pretty quick. And then I'll have your northwestern Oklahoma, northeastern Texas Panhandle forecast coming up later in the show. A lot going on today on the Ag Show. We got wheat varieties we're going to talk about, homegrown cutworms, maybe talk a little bit about hogs, but it is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour today, so I'll have more on the Taylor Ranch coming up in the next segment. Let's see what happened overnight. Looks like wheat futures plunged in overnight trading as part of the broad market losses amid some optimism about crop weather in the U.S. Excuse me. I don't know where they got that. But anyway, corn and soybeans also were lower. Blizzards are moving across the northern plains. Did you see all that snow? North Dakota and South Dakota and Minnesota and all through there. Man, they got hammered. As much as six times the normal amount of precipitation has fallen in the past week in much of South Dakota through North Dakota, the biggest producer of spring wheat in the United States, was mostly dry, according to the National Weather Service's precipitation page. Still, about 40% of North Dakota is suffering from a moderate drought, the lowest rating from the U.S. Drought Monitor, while about 55% of the state was seeing abnormally dry conditions. That's an improvement from 3 months ago, when roughly 62% of North Dakota was under a moderate drought and 17% was suffering from a severe drought, according to the monitor. The southern plains, where hard red winter wheat is growing, is still extremely dry, as zero precipitation has fallen in most of Kansas and Oklahoma in the past week. Southwestern Kansas, the Oklahoma-Texas Panhandle, have had no precipitation in at least a week. I'd go out on a limb and say probably in the last 2 to 3 weeks. Only 28% of the U.S. winter wheat crop was rated good or excellent as of Sunday, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture in their report earlier in the week. That's down from 30% at the same point last year. So that tells me we're in worse shape now than we were last year, and last year was terrible. Wheat futures for May delivery lost 15 cents to $6.76 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures dropped 18 cents to $8.54 a bushel. Corn futures were down 5.25 cents to $6.48 a bushel. Soybean futures for May delivery fell 9.5 cents to $15.08 a bushel. Soybean meal dropped $6.30 to $4.51.10 a short ton, and soy oil declined 48 cents to $56.26 a pound. Soybean exports from Brazil, the world's largest shipper of the oil seeds, surged in March both month over month and year over year, according to government data. Exports of soybeans jumped to 13.3 million metric tons last month, a record for March, the Brazilian government said. That's a 155% increase from a month earlier and almost a 9% increase from March of 2022. Brazilian farmers are expected to produce 153 million tons of soybean in the current marketing year, according to the data from the USDA. If realized, that would be the highest on record and an 18% increase from the previous year. Shipments from the South American country are projected by the USDA at 92.7 million metric tons. That's up 13 million from last year. Brazilian soybean exports tend to peak in May, then decline throughout the rest of the year, according to the USDA. Corn exports from Brazil, meanwhile, plunged 41% in March to 1.34 million metric tons amid the glut of soybeans that needed to be shipped, according to the country's government. Production of the grain is forecasted by the USDA at 125 million tons, and that's up from 116 million tons a year, according to the USDA. Exports are seen at 50 million metric tons, up narrowly from 48.5 million. Well, Brazil better look out, because we got a gentleman over there in the Delhi area that's getting ready to weigh in on a little bit on their pineapple harvest in the next couple of years. So look out, Brazil. The blizzard and ice storm warnings remain in effect for parts of the upper Midwest this morning, and much of North Dakota and counties in north central South Dakota. Blizzard warnings will be in place till this evening, according to the National Weather Service. In central North Dakota, another 2 inches of snow on top of what's already fallen is expected. The National Weather Service said in its report that early this morning, wind gusts will be as high as 45 miles an hour. In Minnesota, meanwhile, light snow and freezing drizzle are in the forecast, along with wind gusts as high as 40 miles an hour. A winter storm warning will remain in effect till 7 a.m. tomorrow. An ice storm warning has been issued for counties in northern Wisconsin, with significant icing is projected. Travel strongly discouraged. Prepare for possible power outages. Well, I messed up yesterday. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I seen the forecast. I look at the forecast 100 times a day, and I seen 35 and 34 degrees all the time yesterday, and even yesterday evening, didn't think much about it. Well, this morning I got up and went to my field that I'm pre-watering to plant corn in either this weekend or Monday with my side row, and talk about icicle city. I was shocked. And then while I was sitting there waiting for it to drain, I remembered I bought about 30 tomato plants yesterday. And I've been telling myself all year, don't do nothing with the garden this year. Just work on getting it de-weeded, and that way you don't have to put a bunch of chemicals on it and stuff. But I messed up, and I stopped at the vegetable and flower shop yesterday, and I bought about 20, I don't remember if I bought 27 or 30 celebrity tomato plants, and I put them under the shed out of the wind yesterday. And when I went back to get my ranger to go turn the water on, they weren't looking too bueno. So anyway, there's $1.89 a piece down the ground. But anyways, I was shocked. I didn't think it would get that cold, but it did. There was a lot of ice on the side row, and it's crazy. I don't know. Anyway, current markets. Let's see what the current markets are doing real quick. Because when I looked a while ago, the only thing in the green is live cattle and feeder cattle. That's the only thing that's in the green. Let's do some grains real quick before I take a Taylor Ranch break. Corn for May is 653, July 626. Soybeans for May 1509, July is 1476. Soybean meal for May is 451 even. July is 447.20. Soybean oil for May, 55.27. July is 55.47. Hard red winter wheat is down almost 11 for May at 862. And July is 844. Oats for May, 342. Actually, they're just even. They haven't dropped any today. July's 339. Cotton for May, it's going backwards again. 81 cents a pound. July's also 81 cents a pound. So when we come back, we'll talk about cattle. And I got the report from Woodward. And sad news, this will be my last report from Jerry Nine on my show. Man, just that's history. He's very vocal in his opinion, and I like it. We know where we stand with Jerry and where Jerry stands with government and how the cattle market's looking and everything. But Jerry's going to be really just severely missed. I'm going to miss Jerry Nine. I like his report. I love his stories in the Penny News, but it is official. This morning, this will be his last report. We'll be back right after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed and corn, forage sorghum, and Milo. Advanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Advanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Advanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it, just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Once again, good afternoon to all of Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, April 3rd. I'm Drew Cobb. 1,090 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 369 brought 276. 3 at 603 brought 195. 30 at 764 brought 188. 16 at 839 brought 185. 3 at 868 brought 173. 63 at 904 brought 182.60. 49 at 988 brought 174. 4 head of heifers at 361 brought 232. 5 at 483 brought 223. 6 at 668 brought 195. 15 at 722 brought 180. 10 at 740 brought 180. 12 at 824 brought 172.50. 19 at 881 brought 165. Butcher cows were 50 to 109. Butcher bulls brought 85 to 133. Bred cows were 1,000 to 1150. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. Pick and sign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's 580-497-6095.
Dagnabbit. Where's the plumber when you need one?
In Elk City, that's where Klein Mechanical's ready to tackle those messy jobs we all try to avoid. They're also trying to hire an experienced journeyman plumber or apprentice plumber with experience in residential, commercial, and utility work. The pay is competitive along with a generous benefits package. To apply, go by the Klein Mechanical office at 101 Stout Drive in Elk City or give them a call at 225-1242. That's 225-1242.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. Here, I've picked Wheeler, Texas. Even though they don't have a mezzanine center, I've got really close to them. How's that? Currently at Wheeler, it's 45 degrees, wind chills at 38, humidity's at 32%, dew points at 17. The winds are straight out of the north at 17 miles an hour with gusts up to 28 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today so far, 33 miles an hour. So far, month to date, precipitation zero, no red flag minutes. Sub-freezing minutes so far today, 201. What's that equal up to? Three hours and 21 minutes? Yeah, my math's good. Anyway, 8-inch soil temperature was 64 yesterday. Today it's 57. So a little bit of cold weather goes a long ways with that soil temperature. Okay, let's check out what's happening on the market. Oh, just I had a couple of text messages on the text line during the deals saying that, yeah, they agree Jerry Nine will be sorely missed. And another question was what happened? And yesterday I mentioned it that Western out of OKC, Ben Hale, out of the Western Livestock Commission Company there in Oklahoma City, they have purchased the Woodward Livestock Auction, and now they have it in Oklahoma City, the Woodward one, and they have one in Comanche now. So they got three sales to service Western Oklahoma and Central Oklahoma. So anyway, that is what happened. And Jerry is, I'm guessing, going to retirement. I don't know how many, 20-something years he's been at Woodward. So anyway, he's had a good run. I've done business with him. He's always been spot on. And so, anyway, like I said, one gentleman said on the text message, I said severely missed. I agree with you. The word I should have used was sorely missed. How about that? Okay, live cattle, April, 168.55. June, 160.67. August is 160.35. October is 164.67. Feeder cattle for April is 198.47. May is 202.97. Lean hogs for April, 73.87. May, 81.25. June is 87.97. At Woodward yesterday, they had 554 head at their cow and bull sale, compared to 552 last week and 600 a year ago. Compared to last week, slaughter cows and bulls are mostly steady. Demand was moderate. And we got, let's go over some of them. Breaker cows looked like they was around 75 head. There was 15 head weighing anywhere from 1125 to 1795. Average weight, 1391. And they brought average price of 105.93. They were 60 head at average 1456. And their average price was 110.76. It looks like $117 per hundred weight on the cows was the biggest, the most expensive one yesterday. How's that? On the boner cows, there was a little over 50 head. Was one range of them. Average weight was 1294. Average price, 96.89. 1359 average weight on 10 head of them. And 104.52 was the average price. That was the high end on them. On the lean cows, there was 29, 31, almost 60 head. Go a few of them here. 1180 average weight on some of them. 88.12 was the average price. Top end on the lean cows yesterday was $90.50 per hundred weight. And then they had 22 head. The average weight was 956, and they brought 84 cents. Top end being almost 79.32 was the average price. Had lots of bulls up there yesterday. 50 head, three sets of them, 30 head, average weight was 1713, 111.17 was the average price, 116.50 was the top end on those, and then they had 15 head that weighed anywhere from 1540 to 2430, 1988 average weight, 127 was the high end, 119.92, 8 cents short of being 120. Per hundred weight. Five of the smaller ones, 1735, 102 was the top end, and 9936 was the high end. Let's get down here to the bred cows. Bred cows, 2 to 4 year olds, looked like they were weighing anywhere from 1005 to 1231 on the average. 1560 was the top end. 1393 was the average price on those. Some 5 to 8 year olds, they had 11 head weighing anywhere from 982 to 1278. 1173 was the average weight, and they brought anywhere from $1,200 to $1,400. Some more 5 to 8 year old bred cows, they had 3 head that averaged 1179, and they were bringing 1310 to 1650 on average. And then cow calf pairs, medium and large, number ones with 150 pound calves, they didn't have a whole lot for it. They had one head, 2 to 4 year old, weight was 1045, brought 1910, and then they had three head, any age was 5 to 8, set 978 was their average weight, and they brought 1510. And then on cow-calf pairs with medium and large number ones, 150 to 300 pounds per calf, they only had one, and that was a 5 to 8 year old, and brought 1685. And then cow-calf pairs, medium and large, 1 to 2 with 150 pound calves, they only had three, and they were small, and they weighed 688, and they brought 1335. That's your deal on that. Well, today is my Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. All cattle are not the same. Just like in people, our genetics determine our traits. Some people are tall, some short, some have blonde hair, and so on. It's the same in cattle. Cattle are not the same genetically, especially when it comes to making a good steak. Some cattle just make better steaks than others because they have the right genetics. Taylor Ranch has been working on their carcass genetics for over 17 years to develop animals that excel in both flavor and tenderness to give you the mouthwatering best steak in your life eating experience. They develop every animal as if it were going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch, selling quarters, halves, or whole beef. Third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free, also available. 405-609-4662. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. How about that? Okay, coming up, we still have some bull sales. And this here looks like it's going to be a big one. It's going to be in Chickasha. It's the 2023 Southwest Ranchers Bull and Female Sale. Saturday, April 8th at 12:30 at the Wheeler Farm Sale Facility right there in Chickasha. Big old ad in the present Penny News, and I'm sure there'll be another one in the new one that the boss went to get today. They're going to be selling 140 lots, including 125 registered Angus and Hereford Bulls and 15 registered open yearling heifers. And they got Brink Angus is going to be there, Brookshire Farms, KLD Herefords, MCS Cattle Company, Sims Family Cattle Company, and Wheeler Farms. And it will be on live auction TV. And like I said, check it out on the Penny News or look at it in the Jimmy's Bull and Female sale calendar. Got any questions, give me a text, but it's in the Penny News. You can't miss it. And Penny News is distributed all over Western Oklahoma, basically everywhere west of I-35 into Texas Panhandle and Oklahoma Panhandle. When we come back, we're going to talk. What are we going to talk? Let's talk some varieties, wheat varieties, and see what's most popular in Oklahoma still. You want to? Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We actually close our loans in-house, so we don't rely on an outside source to actually close or handle any of the signing of our documents. Most importantly, when dealing with a local bank, you're dealing with local people that are familiar with the area that you can always pick up the phone and call. We take pride in making sure we always return a phone call. Getting back in touch with the person over a phone call is very important to us. I'm Joe Shepard, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
The biggest mistake I've seen when people are purchasing insurance or coming in to visit with us is being underinsured. You know, the state minimum on auto insurance is $25,000, $50,000, and that's too low. I mean, if you run into somebody's new vehicle and it costs $50,000 and you only have $25,000 in coverage, that's going to come out of your pocket. So, you know, we try to make sure that our customers are insured how they need to be to get the coverage. I mean, if you're going to have insurance, you need to have it for the right reasons, and that's to protect themselves. I mean, that's why they have it. I'm really in the business of protecting the customer. When it comes to protection, it's not a large amount more to go ahead and get the coverage you need.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. Here's your northwestern Oklahoma and northeastern Texas panhandle. I picked Fairview, Oklahoma today. Currently it's 49, feels like 44. Dew point's 18, humidity's at 28. No rainfall in the last 12 hours. The winds are out of the north-northwest at 15 with wind gusts up to 23. Sunrise, 7:16 a.m. You guys knew that already, didn't you? Well, guess what? Sunset's at 7:58 p.m. How's that? Today, sunny, high 58, north winds. Tomorrow, very nice, mostly sunny, 63 degrees, with northeast to east winds, 3 to 10 miles an hour. We need a break. Friday, mostly sunny, 68 degrees, east to southeast winds, 6 to 12 miles an hour. Beautiful day. The Easter weekend just looks gorgeous, that's all I can tell you. Saturday, 73, south winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunday, mostly sunny, 81 degrees. Winds will be south, 9 to 15 miles an hour. They'll pick up a little bit to get that warm, but still looks like a great day to be hunting Easter eggs. How about that? And I sent you guys out a text. It's very rare I send out two texts in 1 week, but text in 2 weeks, Texas. I got Texas on the brain over here. Anyway, I sent out a deal on George Creek Market here in Elk City. They got that deal running on those eggs, two dozen for $7. You better go get you some, and they're really good eggs. I looked at some of them, nice eggs. They're medium sized. Go get you some of them. That deal will last as long as they have eggs in stock, or they'll just last till they run out. How about that? Okay, here we go. What I want to do? Oh, I wanted to give you guys an update on the fires real quick. From yesterday, looks like the one in Custer County, but there by Weatherford, they're calling that the Route 66 fire. It burned 1,485 acres. It's not fully contained yet. According to the Forestry Department, it's only 20% contained. Then what was the other one? Oh, the 600 road fire in Blaine County, it was a little larger, estimated at 2,000 acres, 20% contained. There was a one in Washington County, they called it the Cotton Creek Fire, 428 acres. And then here's probably the biggest one in Washington County. Also, the Gap Road Fire, 4,416 acres. And then in Logan County, Simpson Road Fire, 3,392 acres. And then the Virginia Fire in Washington County, 1,472 acres. And then there was one in Adair County that was called the Middle Point Fire, 370. Washington County had three fires going yesterday. I mean, they had it going on. Wasn't in a good way either. So anyway, they still have their preparedness level. The Oklahoma Forestry Department does at a level three on a 1 to 5 scale. So don't, you know, the wind's blowing today and humidity is low. So, and things can still happen today. So there's your update from the Oklahoma Forestry Services. Got that going on. Okay. Oklahoma wheat varieties. Oklahoma State University wheat varieties are among the top four varieties planted in Oklahoma for the ninth consecutive years, according to the USDA National Agriculture Statistics Service. Wheat is essential to human nourishment and health. Our research in wheat genetics is well positioned to continue leading the nation in advancing in food sustainability, quality, and security, said Scott Sensman, Associate Vice President of OSU Ag Research. We are proud to see the evidence of our sciences discoveries making the world better through the land grant system. Double Stop CL Plus remains the most planted wheat variety in the state for the second year. It has remained in the top three since 2019. Also, Gallagher has remained in the top three of the most planted varieties since 2015, while Smith's Gold has remained in the top four since 2020. The following OSU varieties are the top five planted varieties in the state in 2023. Double Stop CL Plus, 8.5% of seeded acres. Smith Gold is at 8.4%. Gallagher at 7.3%. Green Hammer is at 5.3%. Showdown tied for fifth place at 2.1%. Endurance, OK Corral, Bentley, Butler's Gold, Strad CL Plus, Centerfield, Duster, Uncharted Delivery, Garrison, Ruby Lee, and Baker's Ann were also planted in Oklahoma this year. We do not take for granted Oklahoma's producers' trust in OSU Wheat Improvement Team, said Brett Carver, Wheat Genetics Chair in the OSU Department of Plant and Soil Sciences. We must improve productivity and genetic diversity in our varieties so that wheat producers can produce their bottom line and diversify their operations. The success of our entire wheat industry rests on the success of our wheat producers. WIT is already well on its way doing so with a new hard red winter wheat called High Cotton that was recently approved for commercial release. The variety significantly raises yield and has a broad disease resistance, and it can also serve as a dual purpose wheat to support the state's beef cattle industry. How about that? Anyway, well, I did OK Corral, didn't do any of the others, but Green Hammer and Gallagher I know has grown a lot around me over there in those other areas. Speaking of varieties, how about peanuts? I got the USDA's 2023 planting intentions report indicates there will be 1.55 million acres of peanuts in 2023, up 7% from last year. And here's Tyrone Sperman to tell us all about it.
USDA's Ag Statistics Service released last week The estimated planted acres for this coming crop in the southeast were showing that Alabama will go from 165,000 to 170,000 acres of peanuts. That's 103%. Florida, in the meantime, is going to 110%. They went from 150,000 acres to 165,000 acres. Georgia jumped up 8%, according to USDA's Ag Statistics Service, bumping from 685,000 acres to 740,000 acres for the coming year. Overall, nationwide, 1,547,000 acres will be planted this coming year. That's 107% of the previous year. So peanuts look like they're expanding in this coming year with more acres. I'm Tyron Spearman for Southeast AgNet.
Thank you, Mr. Tyrone Spearman. I know some of you guys down there, especially in Beckham County, have hung out with him pretty good. But anyway, he sounds like he'd be a hoot to hang out with. Well, when we come back from this last break, I just want you guys to listen to this last update from Jerry Nine. And just remember, it's his last one. We'll be right back after this.
This is Jerry Nine. I do want to tell you I've sold the Woodward Livestock Auction, and I want to thank all my customers and friends that have helped make Woodward Livestock Auction the sale it is today. I've sold the auction to Ben Hale and his family. They own Western Commission Livestock in Oklahoma City, also Comanche Livestock, plus a sale in Knoxville, Iowa. The reason I sold to them, they're honest and will work hard for the buyers and sellers. All I ask is that you give them the same opportunity you gave me. It saddens me a little to sell the auction, but with interest going up like it has, and after 23 years, I think it's time. I will still be at the auction. You can call me, call Ben, or Seth. For this week, for Thursday, we do have 260 steers long weaned, blacks and red, 5 to 600 pounds. Another load of steers and heifers, 650 pounds. Another load of 8-weight steers, plus several others. Give us a call. Thanks again to all your buyers and sellers for the past 23 years. This is Jerry Nine.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Good afternoon, Jimmy's Great Stewards of the Land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, March 31st. 1,230 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 404 brought 254. 5 at 466 brought 254. 3 at 482 brought 235. 14 at 553 brought 227. 4 at 711 brought 194. 5 at 716 brought 180. 16 at 931 brought 172.50. 4 head of heifers at 334 brought 230. 5 at 416 brought 218. 17 at 425 brought 225. 4 at 471 brought 202, 6 at 576 brought 200, 10 at 617 brought 198, 10 at 1058 brought 148. Butcher cows were 58 to 116, butcher bulls brought 50 to 130, bred cows were 660 to 1710, pairs brought 1300 to 2425. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
This Saturday night, KCO presents another great race at the awesome Elk City Motorsports Park. USRA Modifieds, Limited Modifieds, Mid-America Factory Stocks, and Tuner Classes will all be battling it out on a 3/8 mile semi-bank dirt track that's built for speed. Located 1 mile south of Hutches on Merritt Road and 1/4 mile west. Concessions will be available. Fun for the whole family. Come get sideways this Saturday night. Gates open at 5, races start at 7. Find out more at Elk City Motorsports Park on Facebook. Don't miss the races this Saturday night, April 8th, presented by 96.5 KECO.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. 2692. they come to you.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. So the other side of our business is we fuel fracs. We have an automated system that we fuel fracs. We go through so much volume of diesel that we get a good price on it. It's just like anything. The more you buy, the cheaper the price. So we buy so much volume that we get a better price, and we're allowed to move that over to the ranchers and farmers. Our whole thought process was, you know, we're making money with this. Let's start fueling some farmers and move that price break over to them. Yes, price is the first thing, but reliability, knowing that when you call and ask someone to show up, they show up, do what they say. I really am prideful about doing what I say. I want to always be there. I want people to call me and know that I'm going to show up and do what I say.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. Let me get you some weather up real quick. And I'm picking Altus, Oklahoma today, and this includes 53 degrees currently at Altus, and no wind chill factor there. It's 53, if that's what it feels like. Dew points at 20, humidity's at 27, no rainfall in the last 24 hours. Winds are out of the north at 13 with wind gust up to 20. Sunrise is 7:21, sunset 8:01. Today, mostly sunny. 61 degrees, tonight 38, tomorrow 65 and partly sunny, east wind 6 to 13 miles an hour, Friday 67 degrees, same thing, east winds 7 to 10 miles an hour, Saturday partly sunny, 71, east to south winds 6 to 9 miles an hour, Sunday looks great, it's 80 degrees, south winds 7 to 13 miles an hour. Okay. So the last couple weeks, the Western Oklahoma Ranch Cowboys over at Clinton at the Clinton Roundup Club Arena have been doing the Spring Arena Sorting Buckle Series. And it looks like they've been having a good time. A lot of people have been showing up. They still have this Saturday and the next Saturday will be the last two. If you want to get involved in this, it'd be great. Last weekend, here's your winners. First place team for week three, Garrison Miller, Trey Whitley, Grant Ryan, and Cody Thompson. And in second place was Garrison Miller, Trey Whitley, Tracy Whitley, and Grant Ryan. So congratulations to you guys on having, look like they're having a great time. Also over there coming up at their last deal at noon to 7 o'clock, on the 15th of April at the Clinton Roundup Club Arena, they will be having the Cowboy Trade and Show and Tax Swap. So it'll be in conjunction with their Spring Arena Sorting Buckle Series Finals. Bits and spur mark makers, saddle makers, new and used tack dealers, and Western artists are all welcome. Got any questions? Call Travis at 405-361-3523. Or Doug at 580-547-9165, or Joshua at 580-302-3039. You follow them guys on their Facebook page. They got it going on. It looks like a lot of fun on that sorting going on, cattle sorting going on over there. Sounds pretty fun. All right, here's your garden tip of the week. Last week, I went out to our daily bread to see if I could identify what was feeding on the cabbage transplants. This story by Laura Payne, by the way. I couldn't find anything feeding on the plants. All I saw was the damage. And I'm talking about this because I seen this in my wheat field about 3 weeks ago. Same exact problem. Her instincts told her it was cutworms, but I didn't see any. Later that day, I was visiting with Linda Carrier, garden manager at the OSU Student Farm, and she was having the same issue. She told me to dig in the soil around the plant and I would probably find the culprit. And that's exactly what I did. I dug for a week before I found one. I'm not going to lie. I was everywhere. There was a spot of wheat out there in my wheat field. I don't know, about the size of your house, say like 2,000, 3,000 square foot. I thought it was kangaroo rats or something, because I could not find what was going, and cutworms don't come out in the daylight. So I was frustrated. She told me to dig in the soil around the plant and I would probably find the culprit. Sure enough, there was cutworms buried in the soil by the plants. So it seemed fitting to run this article on cutworms. Cutworms, the arch nemesis of the Oklahoma gardener. The Oklahoma gardener puts on a brave face when it comes to the heat and drought, poor soils, general unpredictability of gardening. However, there is something that strikes fear in the heart of every gardener: cutworms. Cutworms get their name because they cut down young plants while feeding on the stems. Often confused for grubs, they technically are a type of caterpillar that turns into moss once they mature. Cutworms stay buried below the surface of the soil near food plants and during the day before emerging at night to feed. During their feeding frenzy, they often chew through the seedlings or small stems, causing the plant to fall over and die. They curl around the stem to feed on it. They also feast on the roots and forage of the young, vulnerable plants, often destroying the entire plant. These garden pests are partial to grass and many weeds, so it's important to remove grass and weeds in the garden. The larvae lived under the soil along with weeds and grass, plow or till the garden well in advance of planting new plants. In some cases, check the plants early in the morning when the damage to fresh easier to see, as well as the late afternoon or evening when cutworms are more active. Should evidence of cutworms be found, there are several options for control. Maintain 3 to 4 foot buffer of dry soil along the edges of your garden to make the space unattractive for cutworms. Physically remove and crush out worms to dry, or drop them in buckets of soapy water. Remove plant residues to reduce egg-laying sites. Use compost instead of manure. Place sleeves around newly set transplants or newly emerged seedlings. And I do that around my tomato plants. I put the 1 gallon vegetable cans around them, and I've never had issues with cutworms on my tomato plants. Now my wheat, that's a whole different ballgame. The sleeve should be 1 inch below ground and 3 inches above. Small paper cups with bottoms removed or 4-inch high section of paper milk cartons work well also. A twig, straw, or popsicle stick placed next to the stem of the young plants also inhibits the caterpillar from wrapping around the stem and cutting through it. Foil wrapped around the base of the plant is another option. I haven't heard of that one, but I guess it would work. Control of cutworms is most effective when the larvae are small. Crops such as tomatoes, peppers, and celery may need monitoring through harvest. Pesticides typically aren't necessary in the home garden, but if experiencing a severe problem, these products can be applied to the stems. Apply the pesticide in the evening right before cutworms come out. Be sure to read all the labels on the container. The earlier gardeners detect cutworms, the easier they are. I'm not joking. When I seen that damage going on out there in my wheat field, like I said, it wasn't a very big spot. I was digging, I dug everywhere, especially around the outside edge where the damage was being done. The thing about the cutworms that was in the wheat this year, they didn't kill the wheat. They were just cutting the tops off and it's growing back. You can't hardly tell where they are now. But I got some spray from the local co-op, and it worked well. Didn't take very much to do it. I had a hand pump up sprayer, got them under control. But the way I finally found them is I took a sprayer out there with Dawn soap and water one evening, and I sprayed it, and it made them come up out of the deal. And I found them. I don't know why. I'm just not smart enough to dig in the ground and figure out where they are. I dulled my knife. How's that? My pocket knife. I dulled it. So it was not I found them, though. I got them. No, it's all done. I promise you. Let's see what else we got going on. Okay, tomorrow, Jancy is going to join me. She will be here with me. And we're going to be talking to Andy Holloway, who is the Texas A&M Ag Extension agent for Hemp Hill County, Texas. They got it going on over there. I'm going to describe this to you guys. They've got the Texas A&M AgriLife Hemp Hill County Beef Conference going on. I've heard about it, never paid a lot of attention to it, but now I'm paying attention to it, and it's huge. It's going to be in Canadian, Texas, coming up April 25th and 26th at the Jones Pavilion. And they have it going on. They've got trade show opens on Tuesday at 7 a.m., coffee and donuts. They'll have an opening prayer and pledge of allegiance. They will welcome. They have an introduction of Donald Brown, who will be the moderator. They've got guest speakers talking about what are the numbers saying. And it's all about the numbers, another guest speaker. And then Rancher of the Year presentation right before lunch. And they'll have another deal on selection for profit. And they have a question and answering. And then, bam, guess who's going to be there? If you're a big Duck Dynasty person, Willie Robinson of Duck Commander, America, our home sweet home, is going to be there on the first day at 2 o'clock. So it's going to be pretty interesting that day. They're going to talk about El Nino and what this could mean, or will it be one, prime rib dinner going on. And then they'll talk about the beef female of the future, Tom Brink with the Red Angus Association. Then the next day, I've got all kinds of, but here's the crazy thing. Here's some of these prizes that they're going to be, grand prizes they're going to be giving away. $2,500 gift card from Canadian AH&EN, which is their feed store there in Canadian, Texas. A $3,000 gift card from Bartlett's Lumber and Hardware there, Terrell Bartlett. And then the big one, they're all big. This in here is going to be a $4,000 gift card from Canadian Waterwell. So you want a water well drilled, you got to go to this event, check it out, win the grand prize. But Andy's going to be coming on tomorrow and talk more about it, and it should be fun. And we're going to have some other speakers in the next couple weeks come on briefly and talk about what they're going to be talking about at this event. It's going to be a great event out there in Canadian, Texas. You know how they do in Hemp Hill County. There's nothing done small there. You know, they say Texas always does things big. Well, Hemp Hill County does it bigger. How's that? And then Monday, Dr. Phil Beck's going to be coming on from Oklahoma State University. He'll be talking to me about the upcoming beef finishing day, April 27th, at one of the OSU ranches. And this ties into the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Foundation Steer Carcass Challenge. So lots going on with that deal there. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. All right. Last but not least, towards the end of this day, this comes from Mark Johnson, Oklahoma State University Extension Beef Cattle Breeding Specialist. During a time of drought, inflation, low hay inventories, and high input costs, when I recently checked on the price of urea fertilizer and learned that it was selling at 43% of the cost of a year ago, I felt like someone had just handed me a winning lottery ticket. As a follow-up of last week, we dig a little deeper into the importance of fertilization of improved grass pastures. Bermuda grass, crabgrass, and Old World bluestem are examples. First, native range grass pastures is wonderful for beef production. It does not require fertilization. It is resilient, requires less management and input, and with proper management and grazing pressure, it's more consistent in the amount of beef produced per year, year to year. That being said, this article addresses fertilization of improved grasses. Improved grasses require intense management, equipment, weed control, and with ample fertilization and moisture, have the potential to produce higher amounts of forage, dry matter, and beef per acre than native grasses. The charts below show, they had some charts on here, and it was showing some fertilization, and it is looking like anywhere from the relationship of Bermuda grass to nitrogen fertilizer was either 1 ton of yield, 50 pounds, and you could have almost 7 tons of yield if you put down almost 380 pounds of fertilization. To summarize, Bermuda grass shows a linear relationship in the level of forage produced to nitrogen and a greater production potential than Old World Blue Stem, but both respond really nice to nitrogen fertilizer. As covered last week, we deal with drought stress pressures ahead of the game. If your pasture management plan this year, apply herbicide to control weeds and fertilizer to early to give improved grass. I know for a fact if you put enough fertilizer down on Bermuda grass, you'll choke the weeds out. So there you go. You guys have a great day. I hope you enjoyed the show today. And Jerry Nine, if you're listening up there in Woodward, we're going to miss you dearly. So anyway, you guys have a great day. Good day in ag. God bless.